Firecracker is lit, and she's come in the pulpit, so please rise and welcome Robin Beal.
God is. Father, I just thank you because you are so amazing. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for who you are. For you are the King of kings and Lord of everything. Thank you for being awesome in our lives. Thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your death, your burial, your resurrection. And thank you for walking and talking with us each day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I thought about something today that was very near and dear to my heart. I woke up this morning very early, and my son wasn't home, so I could sing as loud as I wanted and play the music as loud as I wanted. And I just really had a wonderful, wonderful time. And I'm only teasing about him not being home and me playing the music loud. I play it loud anyway. So he usually walks through the house and he goes, "Here we go." And I just keep turning it up, and I walk by it again and turn it up again. But this morning, I was overwhelmed because this is Resurrection Sunday, and all I think about is what he did for me. He died for me. And each one of us, if we would take that real personal today, you would have a personal thing going on inside of you. It's really personal to me. He died for me. And he was resurrected for me. And so that's what has been spoken into my life. I thought about an invitation. You know, when you give someone something, I give it a little strange. I give them an invitation to something, and I was invited to something wonderful and couldn't make it yesterday. And I thought about that invitation. And when you give someone an invitation, most people just walk up and say, "Here." And they hand it to you and walk away. But the sister that gave me the invitation gave it like I give invitations. She was telling me how wonderful it was going to be and what was going to happen. I want you to know that that is the kind of invitation I want to give you today. That's my sole purpose today. I came to give you an invitation. I am personally inviting you to something and to someone. And I wanted to give it to you because oftentimes we sit in the midst of a service, and if you don't get that personal invitation, you may not come. Today, I came to give you a personal invitation. I want to make sure I look at each of you because I am personally inviting you. Consider yourself invited. Robin Beale invited you today. You are personally invited. Have I looked at all of you? Look up if you're not looking. I'm personally inviting you. I want no one to miss this because you are personally invited. I want to start off with just sharing my testimony through God's Word. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 8 is going to be my testimony because it is a part of who I am and where I have come from. And I just want, I tell you, I'm going to contain myself today because through the house I was running. I got my motor is charged. And if I was somewhere else, I'd be dancing all around the church. So I am contained. I talked to my mother today and I said, "Mom, I feel contained. I'm going to stay with it because there's something I kept feeling like run through troops and leap over walls." Hallelujah. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I was thinking about the fact that I have something to thank the living God for. Each and every day, God has given me something to be grateful for. If you don't have anything to praise Him for, praise Him because I can praise Him. Because I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. He has brought me from a horrible pit. He has saved my life. He delivered my family. He delivered my brother. He saved me, and I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth because I can't look around and see anything that I have done, but I can see what He has done. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I thought about, as I was reading this, I thought about the years that in my home, when I was growing up, there were beatings, there was arguments, there was cussing, there was all types of things going on. And every time I came to the house of the Lord, we would do something where we'd stand at the front door, and the pastor said, "Before you enter in, I want you to begin to praise God for what He's going to do." And I kept saying, "God, you are going to save my father. You are going to deliver my father. You are going to set my father free because he reaped havoc in a home. He would not let peace reign. He would not be happy. He came in angry, left angry, and he was always disturbed. But I can stand before you because I make my boast in the Lord to tell you that one day I was in college. They called me to tell me, guess who was slain in front of the altar? The Lord Jesus Christ came in and filled my father with the Holy Ghost and delivered him. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The Bible says, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Be glad. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." I had never been anywhere as a child that was peaceful. everywhere I had been, from being put in a home and not having parents there with me. Everywhere I went, there was turmoil. But my soul, I can say I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I'm not talking about just a building. I'm talking about when the Lord God comes into your life and he sets up a pavilion. Psalms 91 tells you about that pavilion. Surely you can go to that pavilion. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. If you're sitting here and you're saying, but you don't know my life. I am trapped in drugs. I am trapped in alcohol. I am trapped in all types of things that have their arms around me. I have tried to get loose. I have tried to be free. I am giving you a personal invitation. You can be free today. Because he is here, the Lord of lords, the God of everything, and I give you an invitation to freedom today. You've tried everything, but you got to try Jesus, because he will not leave you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I think about the word magnify. Oh, let's just talk about how big he is. When my son was little, because of the things that had gone on in our lives, he was very afraid, and he would say, Mom, are you going to be safe? Mom, are you going to be safe? And I had one night that we did devotions that I told my son how big our God was. I said, son, let me give you a description of God. Our God puts his foot on earth, but he has one foot in heaven. I said, our God can see what goes on in the airplanes, but yet our God can see when a baby is born in the womb of a mother. Our God's arms are so big that he can reach from Africa and all the way here in Maryland. Our God sees everything. Our God is not short. Our God is not small. His arms are not too short. I want to say, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. My son got a clear picture of how big he is. And let us exalt his name together. You know what? I thought about something. My sister and the Lord and I were talking, and we were talking about how come people aren't coming to the Lord. And you know, a lot of times people don't come because we have that little thing, I got my four and no more. It's me and my family. As long as we got it together, it's okay. But I want to share with you, God expects us to go to the highway, byways, and hedges and compel the people to come. He wants all people to exalt his name together. He wants us to go and drive them out of the trenches and bring them into the ark of safety. God, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, hallelujah, and he heard me. He is not deaf. He is not away from us. I sought him and he heard me. And when I cried out, I remember as a child coming to church, and I didn't know anything about being a Christian the way that people knew. I grew up in the church, but it was a religion. It was coming to a building, and when you're done with the building, you say, I went to church, and you were happy about it. But at 12 years old, I met this family, and they invited me out to church, and all I remember is I was so impressed with how and what they believed, that they had a special service in the youth group. And I remember walking out of the house that night. I said, Mom, when I come back, I am going to be saved. I'm going to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, can you say that? I said, I don't know, but when I come back, I'll let you know. There were men in the church that carried me in as I was speaking in tongues and praising God. My mother said, don't leave her here. What do we do with her? She told me that later. She said, I told them, don't leave her here. I don't know what to do with her. And they laid me on the floor, and my mother said, there I stayed past midnight, worshiping the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Wrapped up in fear, I had fear of my life. Fear of where I came from. Fear of being molested as a child. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of coming from a family that people talked about. Fear of having my family fighting on the front lawn. Fear of my brother who was drowning and dying in heroin and crack addiction. Fear. I was clothed in fear. I remember thinking of the times when we were in the home and social services was supposed to protect us and was supposed to come out and make sure we were all right. And the man would tell them that we were somewhere that we were not. And they didn't even come to see if we were all right. I was clothed in fear. So the day that I came to Jesus, I remember specifically what he said in that youth service. He said, if you are here and you need to know that somebody loves you, today you can find out that someone loves you. You may be here today. And you may be saying, I'm not sure anybody loves me. You see, you don't know where I have been. You don't know what has gone on in my life. You don't know the rejection that I've seen. You don't know. My mother left me. My father left me. My brothers, my sisters. You may feel like you're all alone, but I came to tell you that love is here and you are not left alone. I cried. I sought the Lord. And he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. You know what it's like to walk in shame? You know what it's like to feel like you just don't know my story? There's a song that says, you don't know my story. You don't know everything that I've been through. You don't know where I've come from. You know, it's easy for people to think, well, I didn't have that type of life, so I'm a good person. I remember my aunt saying that. She said, I am this great person. I am this great person because I didn't do any of that stuff. I said, morally good is not good enough. It's all about coming to God. The wonderful thing about God is there's no big I's and little U's. When you come into him, we are all the same. We are sinners saved by grace. And he never looks at us and looks down on us. He never looks at us funny. He doesn't remember when others try to bring it up. He says, I don't remember that because I love my child. He doesn't remember it anymore. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. In case you haven't realized it, I'm getting to the invitation. Remember, you have a personal invitation from me. You have a personal invitation. You have a personal invitation. I'm giving you a personal invitation. I want to invite you because I want you to understand this. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Everything that you think that you have done that you can't come out of, you can't imagine. You can't imagine what I have done. You can't imagine where I have been. That's the thoughts and the cries on your heart. And you're saying, you don't know. I have heard that if I got mixed up in this, God can't deliver me. I have heard if I got mixed up in that, God can't deliver me. Where can you go that God can't go? Where can you go that God can't deliver you? I came to tell you wherever you have been in the horrors of hell, God has been there and he can bring you out. He can wash you, make you clean, create within you a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within you. I'm giving you a personal invitation. I want you to hear it. The angels of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and delivers them. If you're here today, all you need is the deliverance of the Lord to come into your life, to change your life. Oftentimes we sit, and you know, Sunday is a time when we can dress it up. And so we figure, I escaped this Sunday. Nobody knew. You didn't escape. You just got further in your sin. He knew. The invitation comes and we often ignore it. But I'm throwing out the lifeline today. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to tell you he's good. I want to tell you personally, he is good. My life is not the same. I am not the same old thing. Jesus Christ came into my life and he made me happy. He changed my life. He gave me joy. He gave me peace unspeakable. I want to tell you, I am not the same old thing. He has washed me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I am not the same. Peace like a river. I have known the times that if I had have had to live alone in a house with my son, there would have been so many bricks and cinder blocks and locks on my door that it would have taken an hour to get in. Because I would have had to, and I'm not cracking a joke, I'm telling you the truth. I was just living in fear. But I'm free. He who the Son has made free is free indeed. And I don't walk in that fear. I remember once being here and just when I first got here and being clothed in fear because of all the things that had happened in my life. And a brother in the Lord, I've given this testimony before, he was sharing something with me and he kind of cornered me in a room as he was talking. And I started looking around the room. And what I was looking for was something I could use to hit him in the head. Now, I'm not laughing because I'm telling you I was so scared. The closer he got, there was something that kicked in, and I said, oh, my God, where is it? And I saw a pipe over to the side, and I said, if he takes one more step, I'm going to crack him over the head with this pipe. Fear. Because of what had happened in my life, still clothed in fear. Today I sit in the church downstairs by myself. I come to the church and I do work in the church. And I go other places and I do work. Because God has not allowed the spirit of fear to stay there. He has perfected my love. He has perfected my walk. And therefore I do not walk in fear. There is somebody here and you are clothed in fear. I came to tell you, let God unlock the door and let you out. Because there is freedom. There is freedom. I'm giving you an invitation. I want to give you some points about an invitation. Number one, you get to decline an invitation. No, thank you. I don't want it. I don't like to come. Thank you. But no, thank you. But here's the best part. You get to accept an invitation. Yes, I am sick of it. I'm sick of being clothed in fear. I'm sick of living secret lives. I'm sick of being one thing at church and something somewhere else. I'm sick of being locked up, chained up. I'm sick of feeling like I got a ball and chain with me. I want to be free. The invitation. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave, sister. He did. He gave to you. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his only son for you. He gave his only son for you. If nobody else was here, sister, he gave his son for you. He gave his only begotten son. He didn't need a crowd. He didn't need the masses. He gave it for you. Take it personal now. For you. How amazing he is. How wonderful he is. Because he gave his only begotten son for me. He's here today. that whosoever, there's the choice, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I thought about everlasting life, to live on and on and on, and to always be free. Always be free. John 14 says this: let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Stand to your feet. The invitation. Today, every head bowed and every eye closed, because today God wants to save. He wants to deliver people. And if you are here, I know that God wants to set you free. You've been hiding. You've been wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right thing? What am I doing? What's going on? I want to give you a personal invitation. I want to pray with you. Those of us that are praying at the altars, please come. Those of you that are going to pray at the altars, please come. We want to pray with you. If you can play that low, the song very, very low. But we want to pray with you. Today, God is here. I want to pray with you. Come on down. I want to pray with you. Come on. Hallelujah, Jesus. Are you here? Today is a day of change. Don't take it back home. Don't look at somebody else and say, this invitation is for somebody else. You've been saying, God, set me free from the drugs that I'm bound in. Set me free from prescription medication. Set me free from arguing and yelling and screaming and just hiding. Set me free from drugs and lesbianism and homosexuality. Set me free. I want to be free. Hallelujah. I want the rest of the church to begin to worship. Hallelujah. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Today is your day. Come and be free. Sexual sin, come and let God set you free. Don't walk out of here today carrying this same garbage. Today be free. Today say, I'm not going to live a double life. I want freedom. In the name of Jesus.
me encourage you just to take a seat for a moment? We've got time. My grandma started taking me to church when I was 2 weeks old. So I had a lot of church before I ever came to the reality of Jesus Christ when I was 16. Part of what's happening right here is that people who have come to know the reality of Christ are receiving those who want to come to know the reality of Christ. Those of us who have been set free have faith that God will set others free. Many of us come from destructive situations, so we end up becoming first-generation believers. Robin's testimony of living in a cyclone of chaos and how Jesus brought peace into her reality. Makes her a first-generation believer. In the chaos of life, some of us look at the relationships that are supposed to work and don't. And it's, how many of you enjoyed the Rubik's Cube back when that was popular? God, I hated that stupid thing. You're supposed to curse them. And it's kind of like working at a relationship that just won't fit. And our lives get full of the frustration of relationships that just won't work. You see other people who can pull it off. And when you try to pull it off, it's like sticking the wrong ends of a magnet together. What happens? Bing! Do they still do that in science class? Bing! 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 And then Jesus comes along and goes, and they all go, because he has the capacity to heal us in our brokenness and make us fit. Fathers and children who were like this. And she said, the Holy Spirit showed up, and now she and Dad are like this. Only the Lord can do this kind of stuff. And if your relationships are broken, Jesus is the medication that brings the fix. Only He can heal your brokenness and make it possible for you to forgive the brokenness in the other relationships you know. This stuff is real for us because He is risen. But we have an additional hope that it won't always be first generation believers. Wouldn't it be nice if our kids didn't have to go through that? So at the family's request, we're going to dedicate a child this morning. Now in the dedication, what we're basically saying is this: look, God, we acknowledge you. We have brought this eternal creature into being, and we're asking you to give us the grace to show this baby how to exit life back into eternity. Give us the grace. Give us your favor in such a way that with wisdom we can help shape what you have on deposit in this baby that's not yet identified. Let us and our family members stand together so that this becomes a child of destiny, not one who is destined only to survive. When I say, there go the future leaders of America as the children exit, why not? Why not our children in the White House? Why not our children finding cures for diseases? Why not our children? They have access to eternity. And God will give them the knowledge of witty inventions. They don't have to be just another person. They can be His person in their life. Not just surviving, not hoping to eke out a living, but fulfilling a destiny, because we help shape their understanding from the earliest days of their life. And we begin by saying, God, in this moment, with this baby, our hope and our prayer is for your grace to help us help this child become your representative in their generation. Knight family and associated clan. Now, most of you know that Rebecca and family live some distance from us now. But that doesn't mean they're distant in our hearts. And besides, the Easter egg hunt is not until noon. No, I'm not going to keep you until noon. You're welcome.
Okay, I want to say something.
At great risk to all of us, I'm going to hand Grandma the mic.
We have a tradition in the Knight family that we name our girls, and then it was like, oh, we forgot. We should look in the baby book and see what those names mean. So Sarah was Christian Princess, Rebecca was Beautiful Living Water, and Catherine is Pure Light Warrior. But we didn't know that until after we'd named them and come home. Same thing with Zoe. So we named Zoe, and it's like, oh, we should see what that means. Well, Zoe, Z-O-E, means life. And Faye is spelled F-A-E, which is more like faith, one of the spellings of faith. So her name means faithful life. And that's what we pray for her today, that she will have a faithful life in Christ.
As is typical, it's the grandpa that wants to hold the baby. Well, you may not know this, but, well, never mind. Now, one of the distinctions that this moment represents is that Eric is now the patriarch of a lineage. And his life can influence 3 to 4 generations. How is that possible? Most of us who have had fathers realize even after they're deceased, we still hear them in our heads. And the customs and traditions that they pass on to us become part of what we are as a family culture. So this is a moment of great transition for Eric and Nancy and for the rest of the family. These are the ones who on every occasion will be standing to shape Zoe's life. And our commitment as a household of faith is to stand with them in that process, which means were she closer, we'd all get to correct her and love her and encourage her and affirm her. And from time to time, we'll have the chance to do that. Father, in this moment, we stand before you as a family, recognizing, unlike previous generations of brokenness, we are a household of faith, receiving by faith the life and destiny of this yet small creature who will one day become a woman of consequence, live a life of significance in the destiny you had for her before she was ever formed. We acknowledge your sovereign grace, and we stand before you. And we say that in the sight of God and the presence of these witnesses, we solemnly undertake to bring this child to an early knowledge of Christ, to affirm her destiny in you, to explore to see what gifts and graces will be manifest in her, and to exercise ourselves to help shape, encourage, and affirm that person. We further, Lord, stand here, asking you for grace to let us live as examples of godliness in our life. Not in perfection, but in humble humility that returns frequently to you as we stumble our way forward. We also invite you, Lord, to let us see the development of this child in such a fashion that in this act of dedication we watch grace come upon the family. We pray, Father, that we will speak with wisdom and reassurance and affirmation and handle all the frustration she will bring to us as a sign that you're not through refining us. But we bless you, Lord, for the moment. We thank you, acknowledging that these children are given to us on loan and that they are your inheritance and we are the custodians and stewards of your grace into their lives and through them for your glory and the generations to come. We bless her and this family and look forward to who she will become as a radiant representative of this household and your kingdom. To the glory of Christ, we commit these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that better than tossing her into a waste can? You know, each of us have a destiny in the Lord. However we arrive, He has a purpose He wants to express through you. To that end, we continue to seek the Lord's grace for all of these children. Now, for those of you who have babies here this morning, we didn't dedicate yet. We'll do that later on. This was a special request because, as you can see, the family is in town. All righty, are we good? All right, now, those of you who have children, you're stuck here. The rest of you are free to leave. No, please rise. Let me give us a benediction. And then you can hang around fellowship as long as you want. Father, we thank you that when we speak your words, you accomplish them over your people. So for every household here and those who represent, I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the continual communion of the Holy Spirit will abide upon each of these and their generations in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy your day. Love one another on your way out. And the kids will be occupied for a little bit longer.